This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Welcome on into our Wednesday, February 19th edition of the second half of Sports Talk. Steve Geller along with Charlie Long. We are here till 7 p.m. this evening. Yesterday, Charlie thought we were getting off at 6:30 for the LSU-Nichols game. That has been postponed to a later date because of weather. And I'm not disappointed in the fact that we got to go to 7 tonight, Charlie, but come on, baseball. What's going on with a game not being able to be played because it's too cold outside?
Yeah, but we do have the updates on, you know, what the games are going to be now.
Right.
We'll be playing on Monday of this upcoming week, Monday, February 24th. That game is going to be at the Box. And then they'll play the game in Thibodeau on Tuesday, April 8th. So they've kind of shifted things around. Mike was saying that Thibodeau got hit really bad by the storms last night. So the field conditions weren't great. And then it's, of course, going to be freezing cold tonight. So.
Yeah, I thought it was funny because you hear Jay Johnson's post-game comments and somebody asked him about, you know, how do you get your players ready for the weather? And he's like, it's going to be above 40 degrees, so I'm good.
Jay Johnson's the best, man. He's a baseball guy through and through. But unfortunately, no LSU baseball tonight. However, we will get that extra game this upcoming week on Monday, and then they will eventually. It's been postponed. It's not canceled.
Right.
We want to emphasize that.
They still will play Thibodeau as well.
Exactly. They still will play a game in Thibodeau. So we have that to look forward to, but it is a few months away.
Yeah, it's kind of odd, though. I thought that the Monday game will be played at Alec Box Stadium and not in Thibodeau for every reason that they have the matchup at Nichols in the April game, and the one on Monday will be at Baton Rouge.
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure what went into it. It's just what we know.
Above our pay grade.
Yeah, exactly.
last night in the hardwood, the LSU basketball team pulling out a second straight victory. Tigers taking down South Carolina big time, 81-67. LSU has now won two games in a row and have improved to 14-12 overall, 3-10 in SEC play. We're going to be hearing more from head coach Matt McMahon this evening, 7 o'clock, joining the Matt McMahon show. We'll get into all that with him. And, you know, we talked about a little bit yesterday, Charlie, the rest of the slate for the LSU men's basketball team is pretty brutal. You got Florida on Saturday, Tennessee Tuesday, Mississippi State, Kentucky, Texas A&M, and that wraps up the regular season for the Tigers before the SEC tourney.
Back-to-back-to-back-to-back-to-back games against top 21 ranked teams.
No big deal, right?
Yeah, no, it's tough. And when we were talking with Toy Lloyd Brown yesterday about it, the SEC is just brutal in college basketball. So, yeah, wrapping up the season with five straight games against ranked opponents, like we said, Steve, if you can get to five wins in conference play at that point, it would probably be a win for Coach McMahon heading into next year. However, that's easier said than done because, as you mentioned, Florida, number 2 team in the country, Tennessee, number 6 team in the country, back-to-back road games against Mississippi State, the number 21 team. By the way, did Mississippi State pull off that win against Texas A&M last night? Last I had checked, they were winning. Let's see here. They did, in fact, beat Texas A&M, and they beat them pretty handily as well. That's a top 7 ranked Texas A&M team. And then at Kentucky, and then you host A&M to wrap up the season. So a lot of really brutal matchups down the slate. You know, getting those back-to-back wins is a nice confidence boost. However, how much can they really build upon it with this slate that they have coming up, Steve? It's really tough.
Yeah, looking at some of the numbers from last night's win for the LSU Tigers, the scoring was really spread around, seeing Cam Carter had 17. You look at Mike Williams III with 13. Victorious Miller chipping in with 12 points there. Also, DeJai Bailey with 11 points. So it wasn't really just one person pouring it all in. It was really a team contribution there on the court to take down South Carolina. I know it's not saying much. The Gamecocks are still winless in conference play.
Yeah, I know Coach Brady's really high on Victorious Miller. He had some nice things to say about him last night on the broadcast, finished with 12 points on 4-14 shooting. But what really happened with LSU last night, getting off to that hot start, 41-27 in the first half, and then just kind of maintaining at the PMAC and picking up your second straight victory to feel good about yourself near the end of the season. Now we'll see, you know, how much they can do in these final 5 weeks, Steve. That's really going to be the big question. But, Steve, you had asked me yesterday, and I want to get, you know, your kind of thoughts on this, if I have started doing mock drafts yet.
Uh-oh, you dove in?
I have not yet.
Okay.
However, a lot of sites are. A lot of people are already getting their early mocks out, and
we
this
mentioned
is pre-combine.
Daniel Jeremiah is on mock number two already. I'm like, whoa, slow down, man.
Like mock five by the time. Well, yeah, no pun intended there. By the time we get to draft season, so he does a bunch of them. We talked a little bit about his yesterday, how he had the Saints taking Mike Green. USA Today has a really fun little story here where they go through every single pick in the first round, and they have four different services that have done mock drafts already.
Okay.
USA Today, NFL.com, which is Daniel Jeremiah's draft that we talked about, the 33rd team, and then Pro Football Focus all have, you know, done early mocks pre-combine. The combine is now, what is it now, 9 days away, Steve?
Yeah, tickety-talk. Next week, we'll be cranking it up in Indianapolis.
Start on Thursday.
Starts on Thursday, right.
So it's technically 8 days away. It's a week and a day away. We're getting closer and closer to it, so I'm really looking forward to that. But they have four different services that have picked for the Saints at pick nine. USA Today has Georgia safety Malachi Starks, which this is the first time I've seen that, which is pretty interesting. NFL.com, as we mentioned, Daniel Jeremiah has them taken Marshall Edge, Mike Green. The 33rd team has them taking Texas A&M edge Shamar Stewart, and Pro Football Focus has them taking Tennessee edge James Pierce Jr. So all going defense.
Yeah.
I know we talked a little bit yesterday about how I'm more of the idea, you know, this is kind of a really loaded defensive line class, so you might be able to get a stud in the second round at pick 40, where you're going to be picking in the second round, and maybe try and get, you know, best offensive player available, whether that be Tet McMillan, whether that be, you know, Tyler Warren, whether that be one of the offensive linemen like Will Campbell or Armon Membu, one of those types of guys. But all four of these services have the Saints taking a stud young defensive player. Now, different kind of opinions on these guys. Malachi Starks, we had the discussion yesterday about not necessarily focusing on premium positions, right? If you just see a stud in this draft, make sure you lock him down. I like Malachi Starks a lot. That's the first time I've actually seen him mock to the Saints at pick nine, though. That's pretty interesting. Mike Green, Marshall edge rusher. All three other ones are edge rushers. A&M, Shamar Stewart, and then Tennessee's James Pierce Jr. Mike and I talked a little bit about Shamar Stewart off air.
Okay.
He is the dreaded P word, not the good P word.
Uh-oh.
Where you have production at the college level.
Potential.
He's built like Hercules. I mean, he's incredible athleticism from someone like Shamar Stewart, but back-to-back seasons of 1.5 sacks at the SEC level. You know, you're hoping that he develops into a superstar-level edge rusher when you get him into an NFL, you know, weight and conditioning program under a defensive line coach and let him develop. But it's that dreaded P word that I'm a little bit nervous about there.
And we've heard so much before with other defensive ends drafted by this Saints squad that just really haven't panned out. There's tons of potential and growth, and we just haven't seen it yet, a la a guy, you know, with Peyton Turner, and in the past with someone like Marcus Davenport.
I'm looking for Shamar Stewart's official measurables because he's like all of 290 pounds. Which is funny because he's built significantly differently than someone like, you know, Mike Green or even, as I mentioned, James Pierce Jr., which Pro Football Focus had mocked to the Saints. Both of them are smaller edge rushers, especially James Pierce Jr., who may be 240 pounds, but he is fast as all get out. Now, the kind of interesting things that's been popping up with James Pierce Jr. is that some reports have been showing up about character concerns with this guy. and who is that really coming from? And people are already joking, like, okay, well, this guy, he's super uber talented. The speed is evident with someone like him. Somehow he's going to fall to the Eagles at pick 32, and they're going to just scoop him up right at the end of the first round. But we'll see what happens there. So that's, I thought it was pretty interesting. Of these four sites, USA Today, NFL.com, 33rd Team, and Pro Football Focus, they all had the Saints focusing on defense at pick number 9. Three of them have them taking different edge rushers, and then USA Today has them taking a defensive back with Georgia safety Malachi Starks.
Yeah, from the mock drafts that I was seeing early on, I can't recall all the websites off the top of my head, but it was definitely a heavy Tet McMillan from Arizona presence, and I feel like, you know, seeing some of these other ones that have come out lately, his stock, for whatever reason, has tumbled down the draft board, and I don't understand why.
Yeah, I don't either. You know, I think he's a clear top 10 pick in this draft. So if you want him, I mean, if he's even there, right? Because there's a couple spots ahead of the Saints where they could use a Tet McMillan.
Right.
I think of the Jets, right? With Aaron Rodgers leaving, is Davante Adams really going to be there long term?
I
don't think so either. So Tet McMillan would make sense for them. I think Tet McMillan would make sense for the Raiders because Jacoby Myers is a really good wide receiver too. Same kind of situation though. Davante Adams left them. They're kind of missing that wide receiver one void. And I think that Tet McMillan could fill that. So a couple squads ahead of the Saints where I think McMillan could potentially go. I don't think he would go to like the Patriots at pick 4.
Right.
But it makes sense as a fit because the Patriots are also looking for that wide receiver one. You know what I mean, though. Like, there's a couple squads ahead of the Saints where, you know, McMillan could potentially go ahead of them at pick 9.
Yeah, I think the Daniel Jeremiah latest mock had him going to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers as a Mike Evans eventual replacement, which makes a ton of sense.
At pick 19.
Right. I was like, wow, that's
yeah,
like a
that
big
was
tumble.
Surprising to me. And Daniel Jeremiah, he does all these mocks, and he's listening to what people are telling him. So
he's going
to
have a Zoom call tomorrow with some NFL media folks. Definitely going to tune into that and try and get a Saints question in for him for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And DJ is fantastic. He's awesome at what he does. And so him saying that McMillan could fall all the way to 19, I trust it early on. But to be fair, this is all pre-combine stuff.
Right.
We don't exactly know. Like, we'll get the official measurables, the official, you know, drills and all that stuff at the combine next week in Indianapolis. So, you know, we'll have to see. But early on, interesting to see a lot of these services have the Saints looking at defense in the first round.
What the all-important thing, too, at the Combine, we've all seen the tape before, and that's what all these scouts are watching as well. It's really getting to sit down and have those one-on-one in-person interviews, getting to know a little bit about these players, trying to get a feel for them of what they're like, their attitude, and that's when you get those crazy questions that end up getting asked as well.
Yeah, and we'll see if James Pierce Jr. is apparent character concerns, I guess you would say,
right,
could pop up there. And then, of course, in that scenario, he will fall to Howie Roseman and the Eagles at pick 32, because of course he will.
We're going to take a break. When we get back, we'll get into some Pelicans basketball talk. The NBA back tonight, but the Pelicans not in action until Friday. Well, they'll be taking on the Dallas Mavericks. We'll get into all things Pels with credentialed NBA writer Ali Cosell right after the break, so stay tuned right here on WWL.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Welcome back into Sports Talk. Steve Geller with Charlie Long. Happy to welcome in now credentialed NBA writer covering the Pelicans, Ali Cosell. Ali, how you doing, man? Thank God the NBA All-Star break is over. I was jonesing for some hoops. How you been?
Yeah, Steve. Look, I mean, the All-Star game is just nothing like what it used to be, right? That whole event. It's been for some time. And so it's almost as depressing as watching the home team lose 10 games in a row, right? I mean, it's just not worth watching at times.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to hit off right with you before we get into Pel stuff. What did you think about this new format with the NBA All-Star game? Because it has just been getting killed.
I didn't like it for a multitude of reasons. It seems like every year they change something about it. Now, this year, it looked like the games weren't even that important. What I mean by that is you had a game, and then you had about a 20-minute, 30-minute break. Then you played another game. And even in the midst of that final game on Sunday to decide the winner, what did they do? They broke it up by stopping play to honor, right, what was it, all the TNT talk personalities, right? Shaquille, Charles Barkley, Kenny Smith, and Ernie Johnson. So it just seemed like it was a lot more of a production than it was just watching basketball, right? And I hated that. In the past, boy, when I first started watching basketball, it was just strictly about basketball. I fell in love because I watched Michael Jordan, right, the best player in the league, go to the dunk contest. And you saw these guys try in the actual All-Star game. It hasn't been like that for some time. Now you've got G League stars trying to keep the dunk contest together. Steph Curry didn't even participate in a three-point shootout, which makes no sense considering it was held in San Francisco, right, his hometown, and he's the greatest shooter of all time. So I've got so many problems with the NBA just prioritizing promotional stuff, fluff, instead of just the actual game. It's really hurt the product to where it's just an unwatchable, you know, all-star event now to me.
It feels like it's twofold, Ali. Like, half of it is, you know, and NBA execs have come out and criticized it as well, and, you know, also the players, but Adam Silver's obsession with tournaments, you know, he brings in the play-in tournament, the in-season tournament, and now this tournament for the All-Star game format. And you just look at what the NHL is doing with the Four Nations tournament, and that is just wiping the floor with anything the NBA has come up with recently as far as players actually caring about an All-Star event. But that was the other side of the coin where, you know, Adam Silver has been begging players to actually, you know, put an effort in this All-Star game or else it just kind of looks like a farce, but the players just don't care. So, yes, the NBA holds some kind of, you know, they have to figure it out and how to make it more interesting, but it's also on the players to actually put in the effort to make it the All-Star game watchable.
Oh, it is. But you could use that argument, Charlie, you just made to me for any point during the last, 10 or so years. And that's the problem, right? Whatever the NBA's tried has not worked. And I'm not a big fan of maybe paying the players, right, to participate like they do right in that in-season tournament, which I think is a success, which I know they're paying the players. But look, I think the brand of basketball, to do anything to lift it up in November, those early months, is key. And so I think that's actually a smart move, because when you look, whichever the winning team is, a lot of those players, right, getting $1 million, or if you're a losing team, getting a little bit less, that's still a lot of money for most of the roster, right? So there's a lot of incentive. That's right, with the All-Star game, are you really want to give, you know, whatever X amount to guys that are making like $20 million and above? This doesn't make any sense. So I don't know what the fix is, but it feels like a lot like the NFL, right, where players just don't care about this product. So if the NBA can't find anything, stop trying to promote it so much in the middle of the season, because it's going to be hard to make them care. They haven't cared for so long, and the season is so long, right? It's 82 games, and by the time you play this All-Star game, they're two-thirds through the season, where a lot of guys are nursing some kind of injury, right, or at least just wear and tear, where you're tired. So I can't blame the players half the time for, you know, not wanting to get up for it anyways.
Yeah, speaking of wear and tear and injuries, we know the Pelicans have been suffering this season, sitting at 13-42 right now and just 27 games remaining in the season. Just curious, what can we look forward to with this Pel squad? Obviously, nothing really tangible to play for to close out the year, but 27 games left for them, a lot of the young guys at least, to go out and show us something.
Yeah, so you don't have the wins and losses to care about, but that's a good thing, right? The injuries hit. You were knocked out of it almost months ago. But here's the thing. You're going to get a good pick in the upcoming draft, likely at the worst, something in the top five, considering where the Pelicans sit and the remaining schedule and such. And that's good, because this draft is deep. And, boy, if you could land one of the top two spots, Cooper Flagg, Dylan Harper, any team would love to have one of those guys. And that would behoove the Pelicans, of course, to land one of those guys to add to this young talent pool. So for the rest of the year, what you want to see, Zion Williamson, finish the year healthy. But keep building that chemistry, on-the-court chemistry with Trey Murphy, who honestly looks like he's going to be your number two guy, right, on the court, now that Brandon Ingram's gone, now that it feels like Trey has probably eclipsed C.J. McCollum in terms of just what he's able to do on the court. So build that chemistry up, and hopefully you can bounce back, a lot like the Memphis Grizzlies this year. A lot of people have been referencing that all year. They suffered through a very dismal last season. Look where they are now, right? Top three, largely, the whole season in the West. Because you've got the talent, so you just need to keep it healthy. And with the rest of the young guys, right? I know this team loves Brandon Boston. I'm wondering when he's going to get a standard contract. It's going to happen at some point. You've got your future center, right? Eve Mrs. You can watch him and his continued growth. Looks like he's finally not, or he's past that rookie wall, right? He looked like he disappeared for a few weeks there, but now he's back. So there's still a lot of things to watch, because this team, I think, like I said, they're going to be competing for a top, you know, six, top maybe eight at worst spot if the injuries stay at bay next year.
Ollie, some breaking news from ESPN's Shams Charania. New Orleans Pelicans forward Javonte Green has agreed to a contract buyout and intends to sign with the Cleveland Cavaliers upon clearing waivers. Sources tell ESPN additional wing depth for the East Best Cavaliers. That just broke quite literally minutes ago while we've had you on. So just want to get your immediate reaction to that.
That's not a surprise. I was hearing, you know, weeks ago that Javonte Green would likely be a buyout candidate, especially once the Pelicans announced they were going to keep Bruce Brown. People thought that maybe he would be a buyout candidate. But no, the reason you're doing this for Javonte is twofold. He's going to get to go to a winner and largely be in a bigger limelight to where he can play for his next contract. And the Pelicans, you know, they weren't probably entertaining on bringing him back, getting him a new contract over the summer anyways. And what this opens up for you now is the fact that now you can sign Brandon Boston a standard contract earlier. If they would have kept Javonte Green, not bought anybody out, they would have been about $186,000 underneath the luxury tax line. So that's not enough to sign Brandon Boston a contract till like the last week of the regular season. And here's the problem, 27 games left. He's played 42. He can play a maximum of 50, so eight more for the rest of the season if he's to stay on this two-way contract. Now that Javonte, I see, is leaving, I expect for news to shortly follow that they're going to be signing Brandon Boston a standard contract, and we'll get to see a lot more of him play down in the future.
Looking at the Zion Williamson situation here at the final stretch of the season, you know, he's been on the minutes restriction. He's not playing back-to-back games. Are we going to expect more of the, I guess, being cautious with Zion down this stretch since there's meaningless games, or will we see some kind of ramp up in minutes and maybe even taking part in back-to-back contests?
No, even Zion told us this right before the All-Star break that there's going to be an increase. Okay. And we're going to start off with probably not back-to-backs he's going to be playing in, but the minutes per game. He told us he expected to go up to at least 30. So starting, you know, on Friday against the Spurs, or excuse me, against the Mavericks, he's probably going to play closer to 30 minutes, if not a little bit more in that game. So that's going to be good to see.
Ollie, looking at that Mavericks matchup, I don't think I've talked to you since the earth-shattering trade that happened with Luka Doncic to the Lakers, but your thoughts on the Mavericks, where they're at? They just seem like a mash unit at this point. I'm sure that they enjoy this All-Star break to potentially get some guys some rest, but they're not going to be playing a full-strength Mavs squad. I know that much.
No, I mean, look, wow. The Mavericks, I feel for Nico Harrison and their fan base, and they're not staying on the same side right now, but you've got no bigs, right? Daniel Gafford, Anthony Davis, and Lively. They're all out for, you know, weeks, according to all the reporting. So they're very shorthanded, very reliant on Kyrie Irving. And, yeah, it's a very beatable team right now. But, look, we the Pelicans played them not that long ago, and they still lost to, underhanded Mavericks team. So it'll be fun to watch, right? It's always when Najee Marshall goes up against Jose and such. But the Mavericks still have a lot to play for, right? That team definitely wants to at least, you know, ride out the storm until they can start getting some of their bigs back, because they got real playoff aspirations. I mean, they think, and it's not hard to blame them, right? That one half of basketball we saw when Anthony Davis did play, they looked like one of the best teams in the West. So if they can get everybody healthy and get themselves in a position, they could go on a deep playoff run. So they're going to come hard against the Pelicans in a couple of days.
Looking at some of the injured Pels on this roster, are we expecting anybody to come back now post All-Star break?
As far as who, I'm trying to think off my head. But I mean, Herb Jones just had season-ending surgery, so he's definitely done.
Misi had the knee hyperextension.
I'm sorry, who was that again?
Eve Misi. Is there any kind of update on his hyperextension?
Right, missed the Rising Stars action.
That was not severe at all.
Well, that's excellent to hear about Misi because, yeah, he's definitely been one of the bright spots. You mentioned he did hit kind of that rookie wall, but Eves is definitely it shows that the scouting department is doing a heck of a job at least finding the talent. Hopefully we can just keep him on the court and develop him.
Yes, yeah, I mean, what, a pick 21? Incredible. Pelicans found a starting caliber type of player. And so if he can just get back, finish off the season by, like I said, it's a chemistry thing, trying to figure out how to play alongside Zion Williamson, it'll give him a head start on next year. But here's one other thing I should point out. I think Kelly Olynyk now has cleared his visa problem, so he should be right. Good to go too, coming out of this All-Star break.
Yeah, that was a really odd situation, obviously, for him. I guess the hurdles going through that will be interesting to definitely see what that guy can kind of bring to this roster.
Yeah, because look, he's under contract for one more year following this season. So can he fit along Zion? Because right now the thought is, hey, he can shoot the three. He's consistently, for his career, shot about, 37 or so percent from that line. And that's what you kind of need along Zion. You either need somebody that's going to play incredible paint defense and be a hard roller where he's drawing some defenders that way, get some offensive rebounds, or have that outside shooter. So I'm very curious to see how Olynyk does finish out the season on the Pels alongside Zion.
Ollie, also your thoughts on Bruce Brown and what you've seen from him in his first two games with the Pelicans, both those matchups Wednesday and Thursday of last week against Sacramento. Just kind of early on, I know that Griff talked a little bit about, he envisions both of them on this roster long-term, Olynyk and Bruce Brown. Mm-hmm. Olynyk's already under contract for next year. Bruce Brown's the one that's kind of an unrestricted free agent. So I want to get your thoughts on what you've seen from Bruce early on.
Yeah, Bruce Brown makes sense for this roster, right? If you think you're the Grizzlies from, a season ago to going back right in the thick of a playoff race, Bruce Brown's the exact type of experienced player that you want coming off the bench. Because, look, David Griffin, I thought he was spot on in that conference he gave where he, lamented, of course, the rebounding's terrible. They're going to have to improve on that. But the IQ, it's been nearly as bad. I mean, first three or so months of the year, I know you didn't have your regular guys, but the amount of turnovers, the amount of poor play, it was just evident, and they've kind of cleaned it up since, but they're still not playing smart enough. So Bruce Brown helps there. Defensively, he's a dog, right? He's a little undersized, 6'4", 6'5", but he reminds me a little of Josh Hart, because when he's at his best, Brown, he's a good rebounder too. I just feel like I hope Pelicans fans haven't watched him so much staring at that box score, because right now he can't make a shot, right? His first week couldn't have gone any worse in terms of shooting the basketball, but he's a much better player. He's a very heady player. And I just feel like he's going to be a good complement to when you've got, like I said, the scores, right? And CJ, Trey, Zion, and whatever else you do this summer, and whenever DeJounte gets back. Bruce makes a lot of sense because that playoff run that he had with Denver, where they won the championship 2 years ago, that's invaluable for a team that honestly is lacking in guys that have been there, done that. So if you get to the playoffs next year, knock on wood, you're going to need guys like Bruce Brown.
One thing about, you know, playing Sacramento that last game, I liked seeing Jordan Hawkins getting, you know, got some run and ended up with 16 points. And he seems to, you know, he does this roller coaster of effect of having a good game, off game. And just curious, what can we expect from this kid? It seems to have so much of that. We talked about it earlier, Charlie, that dreaded word of potential. But when can the full, I guess, Jordan Hawkins experience be unlocked? Because the kid just seems to be stuck in a rut.
Yeah, you hope it's this year. I mean, honestly, but I don't know if the back will allow him, because it sounds like what he's dealing with is more than just a regular back pain.
Right.
Right. And it's held him back. I mean, you saw October, he was lights out. Then this back injury crept up, and he hasn't been honestly the same since. But you're right, Steve. He has shown signs two of the last three games. He shot the ball reasonably well, and he's given the Pelicans a boost. If he could just finish the rest of the year out showing us that at least he's healthy, that would be a step for him. I know we wanted to see better defense from him, some playmaking, but I think right now you just want to see the kid finish a year strong with confidence and show us that that back, you know, it's maybe not as large of a concern as it first seemed when that injury was first announced.
Ollie, definitely appreciate your time and looking forward to basketball back tonight. At least we got one game in action, and then Pelly's play on Friday, and you know, we'll be, you know, winding down this season. It's been rough, but it's just still entertaining basketball. Is that all what me and Charlie are hoping for the rest of the way?
Yeah, look, I mean, guys, I think I don't have to tell fans this. 3-4 years ago, you know, during the Alvin Gentry era, Dell Demps, this time of year when the Pelicans were out of it, there was really nobody to look at, right? There was no young talent because Dell Demps never built the team that way, but now there is. So there's plenty to watch for, even though, yeah, they've got 13 wins on the season. So it's going to be better than all-star basketball anyways, that's for sure.
Always awesome stuff. Thank you, Ollie, for the time.
Thanks, Ollie.
Thanks, guys. Have a good rest of your night.
For sure. Ollie Cosell, credentialed NBA writer covering the Pelicans, joining us there. You can follow him at Ollie Cosell, OLEHKOSEL, on Twitter. We're going to take a break, be back with more sports talk right after this on WWL. Who's dreamed of riding in a carnival parade? Well, WWL has your tickets to row with the crew of Argus on Mardi Gras Day. You can ride high atop a float with everything you need, costumes and throws for two, and it's all free. Just go to WWL.com/contest for your chance to win the ride of a lifetime in the greatest free show on earth, powered in part by Mercedes-Benz of Covington. Let the good times roll with WWL. And we got another 4-0 baseball team right now, Charlie. The Tulane Green Wave were in action this evening. The cold weather didn't scare off them in Southeastern. The Green Wave coming out on top 5-3, and now the Greenies 4-0 on the season, and Southeastern drops to 4-1. So congrats to the Green Wave.
Yeah, come from behind victory as well here, Steve, putting up a three spot in the sixth inning to come back from down 3-1 early on. And then they eventually add an insurance run in the eighth to pull off a 5-3 win. One thing I thought was pretty interesting, Steve, looking ahead at LSU's baseball schedule, they don't play Tulane this year.
I know, you kind of missed that.
I know they have all the midweek games against the in-state opponents, but they don't play Tulane. They play Southeastern kind of late April. But I was just a little bit surprised by that. It feels like almost every year they do the rounds with the in-state schools. They all play each other. And that's the way for all these, you know, teams in the Southeast. Like the Mississippi schools all play each other. The Alabama schools all play each other. Like Troy played Auburn last night. Kennesaw State played Georgia. The Georgia schools all play each other. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But no Tulane LSU.
And it's always a heated rivalry. I love to tell the story. When I was first moving down here from New Jersey, all my buddies up Northeast, they're telling me, oh, I don't know how you're going to hack it in Louisiana with no baseball. You love baseball, and you're going to go down there. There's no Major League Baseball team. And I swear to you, my first stop when I got into the state here was at a Denny's. I walk in. There's someone with a portable TV sitting there at the counter, and they're watching a Tulane baseball versus LSU baseball game. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I'll be just fine.
No MLB.
Right.
But
plenty of college action.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
Taking a break here on Sports Talk. When we come back, we'll wrap things up as we get ready for the Matt McMahon Show coming up on Sports Talk after Sports Talk at 7 p.m. So stay tuned. We'll be back with more right after this on WWL. Are you listening to WWL on the Odyssey app? We've seen growth in our listeners in our area who stream their favorite shows on their phones and who download our podcast. Now more than ever, you want to stay connected to WWL for breaking news, sports, and opinions, and just can't get it anywhere else. Download the Odyssey app today and make sure to go to My Audio. Then in your settings, turn on notifications. That way you'll never miss a big story or a red-hot interview. WWL is always live on the free Odyssey app. Recapping some of the breaking news that you just let us know earlier, Charlie, that Javonte Green signing with the Cavaliers after agreeing to a contract buyout with the Pelicans, averaged a 5.8 points and 3.6 rebounds and 18 starts for the Pels this season, appearing in 50 games.
He's good wing depth for the Cavaliers, and we'll see how he does, because Cleveland's looking for the postseason at this point. See, they're the best team in the Eastern Conference, so good luck to him.
Yeah, and hopefully, like you said, this opens up some money and for Brandon Boston Jr. to get a deal done with the Pelicans. Coming up next, Matt McMahon Show right here on WWL. Stay tuned.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.